Hey, ¿qué pasa, Calexico? Welcome back to the podcast. Well, it's come to that part of the, you know, season, the election season. When I first started the podcast, I didn't think, you know, my podcast would be, I mean, not political, but talk about politics and have politicians on the podcast. But throughout the years, I've known how important it is for the people who listen to or share about, you know, what they listen to on the podcast to get to know the candidates that are running for, you know, our local government. So, yeah, that's why I do, you know, these conversations, interviews, whatever you want to call them. And one thing I do want to mention, and I always try to mention when I do these interviews, is that I don't endorse personally, but I'm not going to endorse them on the podcast because I'm trying to be fair and as biased as I can. Another thing is that almost everybody that's on the podcast during the election season is somebody that reached out to me. I try not to interview, not to invite anybody personally, just to be as fair and as unbiased to anybody running. But yeah, if you want to be on the podcast and talk about your campaign, talk about, you know, the things that you want to focus on as a candidate, make sure you email me at quepasacalexico@gmail.com or send me a message through Instagram or Facebook, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. But yeah, my guest today is a returning guest. She was here a while back, pre-pandemic, when I used to record my episodes at Golden Dragon. I think back then you were running for the high school district, right, in El Centro?
Yes.
So my guest today is Diana Garcia Ruiz, who's running for IID District 2.
Board of Supervisors.
Yeah.
Board of Supervisors District,
District 2. Yeah. No, I was thinking of Mr. Pacheco, but
yeah.
Board of Supervisors. Diana, thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
Again, before we get into, you know, your campaign and you know, sure, the things you want to focus on, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and raised in Heber. I've been married for 29 years to guy from Eastside El Centro, who now calls himself a Heberian.
Heberian.
That's what we call each other, Heberians.
Heberians.
Well, you know, a lot of times I've been in elected office for 27 years now.
Oh, wow.
And I started in Heber because, you know, when people talk about, oh, Heber didn't have sidewalks and people have protested, you know, I was the protester. I was the organizer, the initial one.
Mm-hmm.
And, because that was me. I tell people, you know, you guys don't understand the indignity of a child. You know, we don't understand it. We think it's fun that during our recess we get to wash our shoes, the mud off our shoes, you know, on the blacktop, the puddles that are still there. But, you know, that's such an indignity, you know. Such, you know, you got to have pride in where you live.
Mm-hmm.
So when I decided that we were going to have our kids and we were going to raise them there, because it's a beautiful town to raise children in, you know, now, I thought, I want to make this a better place. And that's where I started. And I began with the Heber Public Utility District at the time. Then I moved on to the school district. My kids played chess. My nieces and nephews had played chess. So I was very interested in how their minds worked, you know, how their minds transferred this chess knowledge into math and how that made them better students, you know, the trainings and stuff. So it just went on from there. And then I began, it's always right. You make a mom upset or you don't treat your child right. And that's when we get involved, right?
Yeah.
So something happened at Southwest and I thought to myself, if my child, I'm so involved in my kids' lives and I'm always there, you know, not getting a phone call back, not getting any answers. I thought if my child is, imagine how the other kids, maybe the mom doesn't know English or the mom isn't as involved. You know, we have those situations.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of grandparents that are taking care of their kids now. So then I decided, okay. And lo and behold, everybody kept telling me, you're crazy. Nobody, somebody from Heber's never going to get elected. You know, there's a big difference.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I was elected. And so I started from there.
How long have you been on the
on the central board? 6 years.
6 years.
Seven this year.
Okay.
I'm up for re-election in November. But, of course, being now on this election, I will not longer be.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the most painful decisions that I had to make, because I see these kids coming from Heber, from Sealy, because I was working at Sealy and I knew these kids, mm-hmm. and graduating, you know, and I was always so happy. It makes me happy. If one child makes it, that I'm happy. You know, of course, more children make it, I'm even happier, you know, but.
Often people talk about, you know, when people run for, let's say, city council, and then after that they run for, or even not after, you know, even after, you know, a couple years into their term, they run for like a board of supervisors, mm-hmm. or IAD. Mm-hmm. They say that they use it as a platform to just, you know,
launch off of.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that
you're doing it because, no. you know, obviously you've been in it for
27 years. Yeah,
so it's not like you use it for.
I know, and I see that. I often wonder, you know what? I'm going to be very honest. The first year you're on there, you have, you know, you're learning. Mm-hmm. You have don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And anybody that says different is lying.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know what you're doing. You don't know anything about full-scale budgets. You don't know anything about, you know, ed code in the school district anyway. When I was at the water district, I had to learn everything about water. Acre foot, you know, treated water, mistreated water, gray water. You know, how much do we get? How many feet do we get a season and stuff, you know? So, no, you're not prepared. I think a full term is just barely enough to start, mm-hmm. knowing where you're going, what your, you know, your dreams are, or, you know, what you want to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like I'm part of the planning commission here, and even being in a meeting, like running mm-hmm. a meeting, mm-hmm. you know, all those little things, you know.
Yeah. The Brown Act, you know, it's a killer, yeah. but it's there for a reason. Yeah. And I respect it.
Yeah.
I respect it because without the Brown Act, we would have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and you got to learn all that, and you know the minutes, and you have to go through the minutes. If one word is off, and people say, "Hey, she made a big deal about one word." Well, you know what? One word, like "and" or, it's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I got to tell you a story. I won't say the name, but he kept saying he wasn't very proficient in Spanish, and he kept saying 100,000,000,000, and it was 100,000,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he kept saying 100,000,000 instead of 100,000,000.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, don't, you know, no, it's not 100,000,000. Yes, Diana, 100,000,000. And no, Diana, I know what I'm talking. No, you don't. You're talking in Spanish and you're not proficient in Spanish. It's 100,000,000, no 100,000,000. You know, he's giving people heart attack that uh-huh. we were in the red, $100 million.
Uh-huh.
So one word makes a big difference.
Yeah.
So your minutes have to be, you know, complete. Yeah, you learn a lot the first year. Second year, you're getting your feet wet. Your third year, you're doing stuff. You know, the fourth year, you're seeing your accomplishments.
Mm.
So, yeah, I see that. I, you know, to each his own. But I really wasn't planning on running for this election. Mr. Plancarte had said one more term. And I said, okay, in 4 years, you know, I'll have settled. I'll definitely have retired. I'll have more things done. And then when he pulled out of the race, I thought, okay, maybe it's a sign, you know, it's my chance. It's my time. And my husband had a heart attack about a year and a half ago, massive. And he's home now. So I thought, okay, he's home. I can take him with me places, you know, he can go with me. My kids are out of college. It just, everything aligned.
Mm.
And so then I called my HR department and asked, can I retire soon? And they said, yes, because they had changed our system. It was after 25 years, no matter your age. And now it's 25 and 55 and the year that you're born. So they said 56 and I 3 months because I was a December baby. So they add 3 months.
Mm.
And so I'll be 56 in December and then in March I can retire. So it was a sign. And then the last day for me to apply for the position to turn in my paperwork was my daughter's birthday. So I thought, okay, so
you're like, what a perfect birthday gift.
Yes, what a perfect thing for everything just kind of aligned. And I said, okay. So, but, you know, when you're ready, you're ready. Mm-hmm. And I felt ready.
And, you know, looking back at the 27 years of, you know, public service, did, you know, when you first, because obviously you were talking about how, you know, you're going to be 29 years married, you know, 2 years into your marriage, you decided to run for.
Yeah.
Did you ever think like it would be, you would be involved all these many years later?
You know what? I never thought about that. I never thought about, is this the end for me? I didn't. It didn't. I told my husband, you know what, my nephew, and now I'll never forget the day that I decided. I was pregnant and my nephew came home and I had bought him his first pair of shoes to go to Hebrew school. They still used uniforms back then. And he came home and he showed me his shoes and they were full of mud. And I was like, this cannot be happening. So I told my husband and he said, you know what? He goes, we had my father living with us because he had Parkinson's disease. He was in bed bound yet, but he was, you know, a little bit dependent on us. And he said, we have your dad. You're about to have a baby. Is this what you really want? And I said, yeah. You know, so it was tough. I mean, it was... I was brought up, and I know that the feminist in me and the feminist around me and what I try to instill in my daughter, you know, to be equals and stuff. But I was brought up that you had a good home, you had dinner, and that was one thing that I promised my husband, that we would always have dinner. We would always wait for him to have dinner. Mm-hmm. That's when my kids were little, because we always waited for my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes it was... you know, a Costco chicken and, you know, just a salad. Órale, unos frijolitos, yeah. Vámonos. You know, because I also love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a promise that I made myself to my husband, you know, and to my family. But yeah, it just kept going. Things kept getting better. Our schools became, you know, national schools to watch, nationally award winning. Our chess team became national champions. And then people would reach out to me, hey, you know, Little League needs this. Okay, let's do it. You know, I think my motto is, if I can't help you, I'll find you someone that will, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you think that, you know, being so involved in the people, being so involved and, you know, the people of Hebrew knowing you, do you think that's kind of, I don't know what their numbers were, you know, prior to, you know, when it comes to election, mm-hmm. like the number of people that voted and stuff. Do you think that you've changed, you know, that mindset of, you know, we could have somebody from Heber represent us and, you know, with our local?
I think so. I think me being elected to the Central Union High School District, people were like, I mean, I remember when I won my election and I went to church, people were treating me like royalty, you know, like, wow, mija, you did it. No, we did it, you know, because it's always we. It's mm-hmm. always we. Don't ever think that a candidate is there by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to take control of your campaign and you have to take responsibility for what your campaign does. But you're up there yourself, mm-hmm. you know, but they're always helping you. And so I think it did. I really hope that people transferred that trust from Heber to Central, and now they will transfer it to the county, because that's what I take with me, is the honor of serving them.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're from Heber and you worked in Sealy, so you know that both of those communities a little bit.
I worked in Ocotillo too.
In Ocotillo.
It's very long. That's my first postmaster job.
Oh, really?
Was in Ocotillo. So and there's difference. There's... Mm-hmm. Night and day difference. You have to separate each one because each one has different needs,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that a lot of people tell me, well, you seem to work for the people. Well, it's because that's who's always asked me for help,
mm-hmm.
you know. And it's a different genre, you know, when you get up there and but people seem to forget that these elected officials that we meet, you know, like our congressman right now, Dr. Raul Ruiz, he's one of us, you mm-hmm. know. He came from Coachella, from from, you know, a trailer.
Yeah.
Like the rest of, you know, it's how you work and how you get up there that really matters. You know, and then you have people that, you know, have elections given to them by the money that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hopefully they learn that we can work together.
Yeah. And you know, going back to the knowing these smaller communities, and you know, obviously you want to advocate for them. But how do you make sure that everybody's like kind of getting the not an equal, because obviously there's more people that are going to need more than others, but how do you make, you know, all of your constituents, not only in these smaller communities, know that, you know, it's not only about, you know, the smaller communities, but you're also making sure that everybody is getting a you know,
the fresh air. And I think that's where the word that, you know, equity, it has to be equal among us. Right now there is no such thing as smaller communities needing more. You know, El Centro, we need more. We need a hospital, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things that I see. I see potholes everywhere. Yeah. I see infrastructure, just like Heber, Sili, or Cotillo, which I don't represent Sili, but Sili will always be in my heart. Always. Oh, they treated me so good. I was there 18 years, and I loved it. So I see the same things, the same needs everywhere, just on a larger scale. You know, maybe El Centro hides it a little more.
Mm.
You know, I tell people all the time, yeah, there's crime in Heber, but there's same amount of crime in El Centro. It's just that El Centro is bigger, so it hides a little more, you know? But I think that there's, if you were to drive around, you know, Imperial Valley, there's so many needs for infrastructure and home rehabilitation and everything. And that's one of the things that I don't understand, how anybody can say we're okay.
Mm.
You know, oh, we have a new fire station, we have a new library, we have a new... No, it's how you use those things. It's how you use those to bring the people in, you know. So to me, it's there's a lot of work in El Centro, Cotillo, Sili, Brawley, Imperial, everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Even Imperial has some abandoned tracks, home, you know, tracks of homes that were never built out.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, when people say, oh, Imperial is, you know, booming and everything coming out, well, some of it is, but then so is some of Heber, so is some of Calexico, so is some of El Centro, you know. I think we all need to work together, and that's one of my main concerns is how do we go out there and bring in grants and bring in businesses, you know? Look at our mall. Oh, our mall. I was having breakfast the other day at the Burger and I told my husband, oh, I haven't walked the mall for long. Let's go walking. And, oh, it was scary.
Yeah.
It's scary. But that's what our city taxes, that's what they rely on, you know? So we need to bring in some good stores that will stay, you know.
Yeah, and it's also, you know, the community needs to, you know, pitch in a little bit, you know, go out there and, you know, instead of, you know, just buying online and stuff, you know.
Yes.
That's a huge, you know, a lot of, you know, our downtowns and local shops are hugely affected by, you know, online commerce. So, yeah, I think that everybody needs to, you know, pitch in a little bit, and I think somebody that really advocates for like local shops is Gil Rivola.
Yeah.
He's a huge supporter of, you know, he's come down here downtown, and you know,
I love those little shops at Christmas time, you know, and or back to school time, or anytime I need, I have a little dog, and every time she needs a new toy, there I come, you know? Every time she needs bows for her hair, there I go, and I usually end up with stuff for me, and you know, and everything. But it's true, you know, local business. My family has a small business.
Mm.
And you know what? We compete with all these other people, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have the budget for advertising and all those extra little things, you know. But yeah, local shops.
Yeah, and especially, you know, social media is a good way for, you know, the community to help, you know, our local businesses. You know, sharing their posts and stuff like that really goes a long way when it comes to, you know, free advertisement for our local
And now you got to do a share.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just share your opinion. Mm-hmm. One thing I do not like is that, you know, when you share your opinion, like if I were to say, you know, I had a great breakfast at Burger and I had one and it was terrible. Nobody asked you that. Just let people make their own, you know, decisions.
Yeah.
Go try out, you know, a new local here in Calexico, Chilibertos.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's a good place.
It's a good place. I'm always, yeah, soy en Tragona. So me and my son, you know, we're always looking for little places. Yeah. You know, but I'm guilty of that too. I love to go to Mexicali, you know, to eat. I love to go to Mexicali, but I'm trying here.
Yeah, so, and sometimes, stuff. You know, I don't have Sentry, but people that do, you know, it's easier for them to come and go.
Yeah.
But for some, like for me that I'm like, I want to go to eat in Mexicali, there's sometimes that I'm like, do I really want to make the line or do I, you know, spend a little bit more and, you know, buy something similar here? Because there's places like, if I want to eat tacos, there's good taco places here. If I want to eat sushi, there's good sushi places here.
But it's not a good price anymore with the, with the peso going down and prices going up. It really isn't a price thing anymore.
No.
Yeah.
It's just more so much.
It's the amount of different.
The variety.
Culture, yeah.
The variety is, you know, there's more over there, obviously, because there's more people, more places to go and stuff like that. But, so tell us a little bit about, you know, District 2. Where does it cover, you know?
District 2 covers all of Heber, all of Ocotillo, and three quarters of El Centro. It starts on Dogwood. It encompasses the mall, obviously. And then at Main Street, on East Main Street, it goes through there and it goes to Adams Avenue, all the way to Imperial Avenue, to where where it cuts off in Imperial. So that up, down.
Oh, okay, so it's weird.
So I don't get the east side of El Centro too much. Okay. I don't get that one over there by Pal and by others. I don't get that.
Okay, and you know, you mentioned Mr. Placarte. He's been, you know, there for
8 years, two terms.
Two terms, and you're running against two other candidates.
Yes, Marta Cárdenas Singh and Ashley Bertuzzi.
Okay, and you know what? How do you, you know, going into, because it's in March, right?
Yes, March is the primary. So I need to either get 51%, which si se puede if you vote for me. But, you know, we're looking at a full year, probably till November. One of us will not make it, obviously.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I make it through the primary, chugging along. You know, people tell me the time, well, your signs were out late and this and, you know, you're not out there and I haven't seen a mailer and, well, and maybe I'm wrong. People tell me, no, ahorita no debes, you know, you should think higher but I've never taken one single penny for my candidacies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just school boards, I would think. They're just, you know, never did anything major. It's just me. I walk the district. I put myself out there. And I put some banners up. That's it. You know, I never took money from the Teachers Association. Nothing. I've never really seek endorsements. I'm not comfortable with that. I'm not. You know, people tell me, you know, so this time I was like, okay. I went and I tried for two endorsements and I didn't get them. You know, it makes you feel like, unwanted. But at the same time, I'm happy because I'm beholden to no one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been me. It's been my family. It's been, you know, a loan from us, our own money, and probably like $1,200 in donations so far.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just 100 here, 100 there, 75 here. You know, and I've completed my forms, all of it. You know, but so it's really a grassroots. You know, for me, it's a grassroots election.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I want. I want my commitment to my communities. And my commitment to public service to show they are the ones that are voting for me.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because I've thought about running and for city council many times and I've never done it. But one of my biggest fears is that, you know, having people want to endorse you and then you're kind of owing them a favor.
You owe them, right? I would feel like I owe them something. Mm-hmm. And no, I don't want to. I don't want to because that's another thing that people are saying, well, I've had county employees talk to me and they say, well, we need a raise. Well, I can't promise you that. It would be irresponsible of me to tell you, I'm going to give you a raise. I would love to give everybody a raise. I would love it. You know, I have a child that works in the county, and I have a child that works at Starbucks. Guess who brings home more money? You know? And so I know. I know I have lots of family and lots of friends that tell me we're going downwards instead of upwards. You know, our per diem has changed. Our some of them travel for the county, and they say, you know, they send us off and for you know almost 24 hours, and you know we don't get we get the pay, but we don't get like a hotel. You know, we don't get anything. Per diem is $15. That's one meal.
Yeah.
Right?
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
If you go get the dollar menu, which doesn't even exist anymore.
And so I understand that. But can I promise you a raise? No, I cannot. So, and I would not. I've never made an empty promise. I remember, and I still remember, Señora Macias would always tell me, ay, mija, yo quiero, no me quiero morir antes de que vea aquí las banquetas. Well, you know, I and she wrote me a letter one day, you know, little lady. She would leave it to me at the post office. And then one day I read it to Caltrans. I read it to them. I translated it and I read it to them. And they were, you know, you could see their eyes like, you know, like, is she really reading somebody's letter? And then I showed it to them. I said, it's not just me. People have lived here all, we've lived here all our lives. And we're still waiting for your promises. And she got to see the sidewalks in front of her house. I still haven't. My house is not sidewalks. So anybody says, well, you did it for yourself. No, 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 no.
Here's proof.
Yeah, here's proof. My house is not sidewalk. Because it's not, you know, and people say, well, then we need sidewalks because a lot of times it's they use the grant money, right? And I say, use it. Use it. Don't abuse it, but use it. You know, because that's gotten us, you know, have. Probably all of our sidewalks on safe routes to school. And that's, and again, you collaborate with people, you know, you collaborate with Caltrans and the schools and the county, everything together. And that's something I think that is really lacking right now. They don't collaborate with other agencies. And that's one of my experiences with, I have a nonprofit, Proyecto Heber, and that really has taught me you work together.
Yeah.
Because like I said, if I can't help you, I'll find you someone that will. You know, so that's one of the things that I think that the county really needs is to work together with the feds and, you know, the state. Sometimes the state and the federal government don't speak to each other. You know, our assembly member and our congressman don't speak to each other. And that's the ones that it is affecting is us. So I think that we can forge those relationships with them, unite them.
Hey guys, sorry for the interruption, but I wanted to take this time to thank my sponsors. I want to thank my longtime sponsors, my friend Camilo Garcia, Eddie Lopez from Roots Creative, and my friend Jake. Thank you guys for being longtime sponsors of the podcast. I also want to thank my friends who sponsored the podcast in 2022. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your sponsorship. And if you want to become a sponsor, you can go to anchor.fm/quepasacalexico. Hit the support button and you can sponsor the podcast from 99 cents a month to $10 a month. It really helps me a lot to make this podcast better, sound better, look better, and reach out more people by promoting the podcast in social media and other websites. So if you want to become a sponsor, make sure to go to my Anchor page and I'll leave a link, also leave a link in the description of the show. So thank you so much. And now back to the show. Yeah. And you mentioned the assembly member, you know, we're obviously going to have a new one too.
Yeah.
How do you think that's going to affect, even the communication between the assembly member and the Congress? How do you see that affecting in positive or negative or, you know?
Well, it's like in a home, if your parents don't speak to each other, how does that make the children feel? You know, and it's the same thing here. If our governments don't work with each other, how is that cannot be good for us. It cannot. Half of our sidewalks in Heber are about, you know, federal monies coming in. And how do you get that? You know, I remember I had, and everybody, the name Bob Filner is not very well right? I love Bob Filner. Bob Filner gave us half of our sidewalks. Bob Filner gave us 32 Southwest Airline tickets so that my chess team could go to Tennessee. You know? Bob Filner never disrespected me, my babysitter, my aunts. My aunts were, oh, they love Bob Filner, you know? So I cannot say anything bad about him personally.
Yeah.
But, you know, all these other people are saying, no, he was this, he was that. You can't. Because that's how it goes, you know? I'm not saying anything, especially because he was bad to women. You know, that part I don't like.
Yeah.
But when we don't speak to them, when we don't let them know what we need, how will they ever help us? So I think that new assembly member needs to make that connection, needs to make sure that we are represented wholly, you know, not just Hemet Riverside over there. We always see, oh, we have this new opportunity, you know, prioritized for Inland Empire and Imperial County, and then Imperial County gets zero. That needs to stop. I'm not saying they need less, but they get a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's also a part of what our local government needs to do. Is get together and go there.
Yeah.
Go to them. Make sure that we are
present.
Yes. Make sure that we are. And they are. I've seen them. They are. It used to not be that way. I think we've all learned how to communicate with each other.
And you mentioned that, you know, kind of things aligning for you, like for you to take the decision to run. But, you know, in those 27 years that you've been in, you know, public office, how does it kind of prepare you for this moment to, you know, be at a little bit higher level than, you know, school board or a utility board?
I think it has prepared me with just getting to know the people. You know, I know young people now, I know older people, I know poor people, I know medium range people. You know, I've met, like I said, the congressman, I was this close to meeting the president. I surprised Nancy Pelosi with a selfie. That was crazy, and it was fun. Just close to getting arrested in the Capitol building, but hey. But I've learned all that, you know, and it prepares you. And like I said, I used to do water. I love everything about water. At one point, I remember I ran for and got the position of the Sun Community Federal Credit Union to be on the board of directors. But I was like, you know, I was that nerd that studied the dollar bill, and I knew that the I was from the, you know, the Illuminati and all this stuff, you know. So that's what I was thinking more. But once you get there, like I said, the first year, man, you're stopped in your tracks. I always tell people, November, you're happy you won. December, you're sworn in. January, you get all, you know, a stack of papers and the budgets and everything. February, you're a deer caught in the headlights. Because you're realizing that what you got yourself into is completely different than what you thought. But it's how you use it, how you train yourself. And I think that 27 years of training, of dealing with people, difficult people, nice people, you know, people that are misinformed.
Yeah.
And you just have to kind of, you know, bear with it.
Mm.
Someone told me, so you decided to put that big old bullseye on your back, huh? And I said, I've carried it for 27 years.
Yeah.
Because you never satisfy anybody, everybody. Never do. But you try. You try. If you have a problem, come to me. We'll try to work it out.
How important is it, you know, you before you ran for any public office, you know, did you feel that you had, you know, that open door, like to go talk to people representing you? And how important is it for you to, you know, have that open door for people like to that have something that they have a question about or
I did not have open doors. I had to literally go in there and open my doors. I remember talking to a supervisor and telling them, you know what, look at our kids, you know, our elderly, you know, they have one store and the post office, and they sit across each other on the street. Mm. That street has no stop, so people run, you know, drive through it, and they would tell me, "Oh, you know, no, that you know, there's no money," and closed the door in my face. And I went out and I got all the little ladies from the church, and we did a protest. I'll never forget the day that I told them, "Okay, we're on a state highway, so we might get arrested." Okay, so because our main street is a state highway, and I said, "We're on a state highway, we might get arrested. So if they start arresting me, I'm gonna tell them, take me, you guys go home." And like, I think it was 17 viejitas. "No, let them take us all. They can't take us all." And I was like, okay, you know, stuff like that. But that protest was covered by the media. People were honking, you know, and everything. And that was really what opened my door to go into county, to the county representative of the at the time, Larry Grogan. And because he would tell me, "Well, you didn't help my campaign." He would tell me right straight out. "You know, I was running. When I was running, you were on the other candidate's side, and you never told me you needed this, so I never budgeted for you." Mm-hmm. "Well, that's not enough for me." You know, so I opened my own doors to that. But now, and we fought with county planning, we fought with, you know, public works, we fought with all of them. You know, don't tell me no, just straight out.
Yeah.
Explain to me why not, and let's try to make this work.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have wonderful relationships with all of them. You know, I think that mutual respect was earned. And that's something that we really have to work on, is mutual respect with everybody. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, in the last couple of years, that's a big issue when it comes to,
yes,
like, politics in general. Like, you know, people are, take things really personal. And, you know, they can.
And you can't. I sat on boards where, you know, we would drag out fight. You know, in stuff, and then we see each other at church. "Hey, ¿cómo estás?" You have to.
Yeah.
You have to, especially like us in Heber. You know, those were my, not just my, some were my colleagues, you know, and everything. And then you see them at church. I have to, you know, deliver their mail, you know, and stuff. So we go from that.
How many positions are up for election this, for the?
Three. For the Board of Supervisors, three.
Three.
Three. Two, three, and four.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And
so there's the possibility, there's definitely two board members will be new. Two are retiring from their position.
Oh, okay.
So there's a possibility of three, definitely two new board members.
How do you think that's going to change the dynamic of the current board? Because, I mean, that it could be a whole different, you know, basically a whole different board, just two new board members, two current.
Yeah, two current, it could possibly be the three. I hope that the dynamic is a little bit more empathetic, you know, with staff, with us as the residents that really elect them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of times, and I could be sometimes, I try to be very cognizant of the fact that my people elected me. You know, I tell people, we elect them.
Mm-hmm.
We elect them. You know, you guys elect me. We the people. And we tend to forget that sometimes. So I hope that it comes back and that it is not just, and I tell this to people all the time, it's not going to, if you know, I tell people all the time, I need to project this. So when elected, when I get elected, I'm not going to be responsible for just Heber, El Centro, and Ocotillo. You're responsible for all of us.
Mm.
I can't work alone. Neither can Supervisor 3 or 4, you know, or 5. They can't work alone. We need at least three people to make it work. So wouldn't it be just so wonderful if all five of us could work together?
Yeah.
I have good working relationships with the two that are staying, Mr. Hawk and Mr. Escobar. I have good relationships so far with everybody that's running, you know, for every district.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with all of them. I know all of them. So, Ms. Bertuzzi, I did not know, but I've met her through the things. We've talked, you know, very nice lady. We've essentially become friends.
Yeah. I mean, you know, listening to you speak, you know, even the first time we met, you know, you're somebody that's, you know, very kind.
Thank you.
You know, really soft-spoken. Do you think that people might, you know, see that as you know, kind of like a weakness or somebody that's not, you know, ready or able to kind of, you know, go up there and go to the federal, no. To the state too?
Anybody that has seen me upset or working, you know, I had a lady once tell me, from here, from Calexico, she told me, you should have been a bulldog. You should have been a Calexican because you're a little bulldog. I thought, okay, okay.
Is that good or bad? Yeah.
Let me tell you a story. When we went to the Capitol, I told you we almost got arrested. It was right after January the 6th, and we were there to seek our now the ex-congressman, Juan Vargas. Mm-hmm. And we were there in April. And in December, we were going to get our new congressman. We had met Dr. Ruiz here like maybe 2 weeks before. So we kind of knew, you know, who was going to be our new congressman and everything. So we get there and they said, well, only 12 people can show up. And there's 13 of you. So we decided to move you and Mr. Eric Rodriguez, who sat on me with the Central Union High School Board. We were advocating back then. We were doing our legislative action with the school board. So we decided to let you guys, you know, you're not going to see him. I said, well, wait a minute. He's still my congressman. I paid, you know, my district paid for me to travel and meet with him. And so, no. And she said, well, I don't know what you want me to do. I want you to do your job, you know. So anyway, back and forth. I call Frank Salazar.
Mm-hmm.
Here, Frank, I know you can get me in. And he says, okay, go to this door, this street, and wait outside because you have to have somebody with you. I said, okay, get on a taxi. Come on, Eric. Get on the taxi and we go. And they let us in, and they tell you, when you go in, they tell you, you have to have somebody with you or you will get arrested, right? You can't just be roaming around like before. I said, okay. So we go, talk a little bit to the congressman, and he remembers, I remember you from Heber. Yes. You know, and so, yeah, we get off from there, and then we say, well, we're done, right? These other people that we're going to see have nothing to do with us, so we're done. Well, you can't go because you have to have somebody with you, mm-hmm. and we're not going to take you outside, whatever. And then I turn around and I see Dr. Ruiz just down the corridor. I said, come on, Eric. We're going to get arrested. Come on, Eric. We're going to get arrested, Diana. And I said, I'm from Heber. I've been arrested before. Let's go. You know, it doesn't matter.
It's not my first rodeo.
I know where to get bail money. Let's go. And so we walk over and we meet him, you know, kind of startle him a little bit. I'm not going to lie. And then he remembers us. Because he had spoken to the central district. And he talks to us and everything. And then he turns around and looks at me and he says, are you by yourselves? Because you could get arrested. And I thought, yeah, yeah. So he took us outside. And he told me, you really need to be careful because you could have been arrested. And this is a federal, right? This mm-hmm. is a federal. And he says, but I like your style. You know, you took what you needed. You knew what you wanted and you took for granted. So I think that, I hope that the people that are listening to this and the people that know me know that I don't take no for an answer. I, you know, I go out and I try as legally as possible to do it, you know. And no, if I know that it is a possibility to get something done, I will never let it rest. Mm-hmm. Never. Never.
So we're at the, you know, 45 minute mark. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the sweet spot where I want to. Uh-huh. And I normally like ending, you know, these types of conversations mm-hmm. with asking you for like your elevator pitch. Somebody that you meet in an elevator, what would be your elevator pitch to have them, you know, consider as a candidate?
I need you to know that I have 27 years of experience. I want you to go back and look at, you know, the Heber School, Heber Utilities, the Central School, what great shape that they're in, all the stuff that I've done. I fight for everybody's rights. I've worked 32 years in my post office, 29 as postmaster. I have a small business that is thriving. actually, even through the pandemic, we made it through. I have a nonprofit now for 11 years, very active nonprofit, transparent. We fundraise. We don't take grants. We've taken one grant during COVID, and I just didn't like it because there was so much paperwork, you know. And but we fundraise. We do all our fundraising our own, and I am committed to the people. I think that's the thing is, you know, I think that the people, my experience and the people, my own people will vouch for me, hopefully, and vote for me.
Yeah.
I tell this to my children and to everybody. You know, my dad would all, because my dad, I spoke with my dad when I was going to run my first time, because his dad was a politician in Mexico. And he would tell me, do you really want to do this, my dad? And he said, I'm going to tell you one thing. The one thing you take with you is your sense of honor of who you are. Never lose that.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And he said, and, you know, to be a great leader, you must first learn to serve. He says, so make sure when you're up there and you are a leader, that you are serving those who elected you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always taken that to heart, and I've always committed. Every time I look at one of my agendas, I say, who am I serving with this action? Who is this really serving? And that's something I've always taken with me, and I plan to take with me to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. So, you know, obviously, you mentioned that, you know, your presence, like when it comes to billboards or whatnot, it's kind of limited. But where can people reach you, like for, you know, social media and stuff like that?
I have a Facebook account for Diana Garcia Ruiz for Pearl County Board of Supervisors. You can use my own, Diana Garcia Ruiz. Instagram, I have Diana Garcia Ruiz. No, Diana from Heber is on Instagram. And I tell people all the time, you know, my name, Diana Garcia at yahoo.com. Mm. That's perfect. It's easy. I've had it forever. And if you go on the website, the elections website, my phone number is there. Everything is there. Mm. I'm completely accessible. You know, you have to be when you're a politician,
yeah.
You know, you have open venues all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things that I do. Like I said, I plan to retire, and I plan to be a full-time supervisor and fully accessible to people.
Because
eventually, you know, essentially that's who we serve. That's who we serve. How can you not have office hours?
Yeah.
You know, I've heard that some people don't have office hours because they don't have the time. Well, make the time. I voted for you, you know.
Yeah.
And that's me too.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. And, you know, thank you for coming back on. And thank you for, you know, sharing with us, you know, who you are and for, you know, the 27 plus years of public service. And good luck on your campaign.
Thank you very much. And when I'm elected, you can have me back.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening or watching. And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Peace.